Hey, I'm Dean Blandino, and as a newly minted Detroit Lions fan, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane, this game is over! How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, the guys people are talking about when they discuss monkeys and footballs. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast, episode 163, with all the people in the house. Give it up! This is our training camp live show party. Thank you guys all for coming out. We've got a great show today. I am your dashing host, Chris. With me is my good friend and many co-hosts, The Riz. How you doing, man?
I'm excited that there's a lot of people here watching us. I'm a little nervous, though. I don't want to get, like, performance anxiety.
Yeah,
or anything.
You're turtling a little. Yeah.
I was in the pool!
We got Eric Schlitt joining us. Eric, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
It's great to have you, bro. And the one, the only, Slow Lights expert, the man. You'll see him in the live post-game show in this season. But only on the away games. Sandman, how you doing, brother?
I am so good. Glad to be here.
Thanks, man. Thanks for joining us. We got a great show today. We got a training camp breakdown roundtable with the four of us. We've also got the one, the only, Jim Brandstatter, in a way you haven't heard before, joining us. It's going to be great. He's going to break down a lot of what's happened, and he's going to talk about the Lions as well. It's going to be a great, great conversation, so make sure you're here for that. A lot going on. Great show lined up. Riz, you ready to go, my man?
Let's do this.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, it's time for a couple of quick announcements. First, don't forget to check us out and help us out on Patreon, patreon.com. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
That's right. Also, Brian from I Prevail. And there's a guy here, you guys may have heard his name before, Mathis, our very first donor. Give your hand up, Mathis. He was our first donor in like 5 minutes after we set the thing up. Not only that, for the party, I set up the site and the whole pay thing, and I was like, hey, Riz, just check it out, make sure it works for me, okay? Yeah, okay, I'll get right on it. He got it waylaid for like 45 minutes. Mathis bought a ticket. He tested it out first. Mathis is the man. All right, thank you. If you guys would like to join the Patreon crew with Mathis and all the other people, DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link or go to Patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Also, don't forget about the Facebook thing. Give us a like there, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And on the Twitter machine, @DETLionsPodcast. DET Lions Podcast is the very best place to see everybody in this room. Right, you guys are the best. All right, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. We love those 5-star reviews. Thank you, everybody who's giving us those reviews. Also, leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Leave a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in training camp, and what a better way to start it off. We got a guest. Riz, you want to talk a little bit about our guest here today?
So there's a guy sitting next to me who's pretty darn famous, a lot more famous than anybody we've had on here before, I believe. Although we did have Billy Sims, so that was
kind of nice.
That was kind of nice, but we're very happy to have Jim Brandstatter in the house with us and come to hang out with us and answer some questions, some Lions football, and some memories. So
thank you very much for having me, both of you guys. Appreciate it.
And Billy Sims, I will tell you, is much more famous than I am.
Well,
there's no question
he's
in my mind.
He's probably got you there.
Can he tear through a pizza
he's
like
probably
you can.
Got me there. That was really good. Thanks for the nice intro. And then you just kick it back to me like that.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about, there's some breaking news now. Maybe it's not breaking anymore, but for a lot of people, there's been some reactions and some thoughts, and you and I have talked a little bit about it, Jim. This is a point in many people's lives that can be very difficult. When the change, any kind of change like this, whether you initiate it or it's initiated by someone else, sometimes it's tough to take, and this time it wasn't yours. WJR and you decided to, well, maybe WJR decided to make some changes.
It was more their decision than mine.
Let's talk about that. From the start, maybe how did you find out and when did you find out?
I found out when they told me. I had no idea, no inkling that it was going to happen. I called up on a Tuesday at a scheduled time at 10 o'clock to rework my deal for the final 3 years. And I was told that they weren't going to rework it, that they were going in a different direction.
Wow.
Just
that had
like
to be
that.
Stunning.
It was. The conversation took about 30 seconds. Because when I said I'm willing to go the next 3 years, same money, same terms, just change the date, send it to me, I'll sign it and send it back. That was what I said to them. And they said, well, Jim, we're not going to renew the contract.
Wow.
We're going in a different direction. So at that point, I said to them, wait a minute, because I had to kind of get it in my brain.
Right, sure.
To interpret what they said, because my brain sometimes works slowly.
I'm with you. I'm right there.
And I said, wait a minute, does this mean you're firing me? Like, you're not renewing the contract? Like, you don't want me to do Lions games anymore? And they said, yep. And I waited for a couple of seconds to hear something else, and there was nothing from them, and so I just said, wow.
And that hung up. That was WJR.
That was WJR, not the Detroit Lions. Matter of fact, the next day I got a call from Rod Wood, the president of the team, that you know, he thanked me very much for my 31 years of service and said he was, you know, kind of disappointed the whole thing happened, but it happened, and WJR has the right in the contract to do something with the announcers. The Lions might have had something to say about it, but everybody was out of town, and it didn't work. And so I have moved on, and that's fine with me, and I'm looking for the future.
You know, it reminds me, and we did it a little bit here in the room itself before we started when we were talking, but maybe often you see a team that makes a move, and we've seen it with the Lions so many times, where they kind of do something to themselves, and this is kind of a throwback to that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Detroit Lions just got hosed.
And I think they just hosed themselves.
Well, thank you. That drop is from the Chicago Bears game when Calvin Johnson, they disallowed his catch in the end zone that would have won the football game. And I was leaving the booth to go down to do the interview with the coach. And when they ruled not a catch, I absolutely lost it. And I'm surprised I sounded that calm. Because I was hot.
Yeah.
I thought literally I was going to get a call from Roger Goodell.
You did a very good job of not violating any FCC violations there, too. That was
There is another word you could use for hosed.
Absolutely.
But what would that be, Jim?
I chose not to use that word because of that very reason. FCC has a regulation in regards to those words.
So I can tell you what happened. We had the officials in yesterday. They met with all the media after practice. And that very call came up, and it would, in fact, be a catch now.
You know what? It was a catch then.
Yes.
I don't care what they say about it. You know, they can rewrite history all they want. But that Sunday afternoon at Soldier Field, that was a catch. Nobody's going to convince me otherwise.
I won't disagree at all. And I feel like that was a stain or a cloud that hung over the whole season.
There's no question.
Yep.
That game was early in the year. It was a divisional game. And basically, the Lions had a victory on the road in the division. Snatched away from them by the Zebras.
Yep.
That is hard to take.
And that's, in the years that you've been with this team, I feel like there's a certain kind of, look, there's years they've been a bad team, and there's no question about it, and they've made bad decisions, and they've hosed themselves, but they've had teams that were looking like they're on their way up, and able to maybe turn something, and then a bad call, or a bad situation, or something stupid happens, and they fall apart. And it's different coaching staffs, it's different players, and it continues. What is this like an organizational thing? Is this up top? Are we past this? What is this, Jim? What's going on?
I don't know. And the only thing, because of the things that happened to the Lions that just shouldn't happen to anybody. For instance, the interference call that was reversed in Dallas in a playoff game. There was a call in Seattle where the ball was batted out of the back of the end zone.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And you know, those are the things that you say to yourself, how do you explain this away? You don't. And the only thing I can say is, maybe, and I'm not one that subscribes to this often,
right,
the curse of Bobby Lane still hangs over this team. Give me another reason why they should get this kind of call in big games at big times that seems to derail them from great success. I have no clue.
I have no explanation either. I was hoping you did.
My explanation is as good as the next guy's.
That one in Dallas hurt. That had to hurt the team. You were around the team after that. What was their attitude like after that game?
They can't really yell and scream and holler too much because they would get fined by the league. But they were all mad. They all knew that they got hosed.
Yeah.
And I was in the same boat. You don't make a judgment call and then have another referee from another spot on the field change that guy's mind to change the call. When was the last time you saw that, and when was the next time? I got to tell you, I haven't seen it since, and the only time I ever saw it was in that game.
Yep.
That's to me, a stain on the NFL and their officiating.
Absolutely. We talked to Dean Blandino about that, and he agrees with us 100%.
He does.
He is 100%, and that's one he's afraid to come to Detroit. And I've tried to tell him, have a Verners come join us, right? Settle down. He's afraid to come. And he will only post, like, on Twitter when he's leaving, when he's at DTW on his way out.
Here's the deal on that. Here's the deal on that. And I mean this sincerely. So what? you're sitting there and you're saying, oh, yeah, we were wrong. Well, guess what? The Lions still lose.
Yeah.
That's a playoff game. I don't want your I'm sorry's at this point.
Right.
I want you and your staff to get it right at the right time. When you don't, you hurt guys that have put it all out on the line. You hurt a fan base. And for you to come in and say, yeah, you know, we made a mistake 3 years ago. Whoop-dee-doo. In the meantime, this football team and this fan base is crying. They want some kind of relief from what they seem to be getting every week from your officials.
Yeah. And it's a city, it's a great sports city. And people say that, and sometimes they say it in a hollow way, kind of like the rock star on stage, Detroit, right? This kind of stuff. But having lived in a number of cities in the nation, there is something special about the city of Detroit. And this city deserves, it has a grit and a drive and a personality that deserves this win. And these kind of situations continue to come up. And it's... I want to try to turn that in back towards what's going on with WJR and Jimmy B. And let's talk a little bit about where you're going, right? Because this is a city that's all about rebounds. It's all about that grit and finding its way back to the top notch, or as close to the top as we can get. What are things looking for you next? Where are you heading?
Well, I still have University of Michigan football.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm delighted. Thank you. We got some Go Blues out there. And I'm still the play-by-play voice of Michigan football. I will be this year with Dan Dierdorf as the color announcer. John Jansen will be with us. Cool. And I'm also kind of exploring the social media thing and a Facebook deal and a podcast. I'm hooked up with a group called Zing Media, and I'll be honest with you. I kind of want to explore other sides of my life and what I think I can do. There's stories that I can tell you about my travel. The day that we were going to a game in Bloomington, Indiana, to do a Michigan-Indiana game, and we got off the plane and went to our rent-a-car, and we asked the lady which way to the stadium, and she said, Illinois or Illinois State.
Wow,
we landed in the wrong Bloomington. I mean, but there's stories like that over these 31 years that I can tell that I think are going to be fun that people would be interested in.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
I'm kind of moving in that direction. I want to stay involved with Michigan football. And I'll stay involved in podcasts and stuff like that. Do more writing.
Sure.
Spend more time. I've got Sundays off.
Yeah.
Which is great. I won't have to travel as much. So I'll be able to, like, I know one time this year, Sunday at 1 o'clock when the Lions are teeing it up at Ford Field at 1 o'clock, I'm going to get a tee time for 1 o'clock at the country club.
Nice.
And tee it up at that time just to see what it's like, because it hasn't happened for 30 years.
Sure. You know, I was going to say, would you pick up the phone if someone prank call you to ask you what you thought of the game afterwards? A couple of knuckleheads on the other
line. Well, you know, what's funny is I've had some people call me and ask me if I want to do some Lions analysis on the radio station or on a TV station for a Sunday night type of deal. Sure. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, I just got out of that. I just am not doing that now, and it's kind of still raw. There's still a bit of a scab there. Why would I go do that again for, 10% less money, or 90% less money? And it's one of those things where I just said, you know what, it's time I move forward and try to go somewhere else in a different direction. And that direction is going to be on this Facebook page and the podcast. And see if some of those stories and some of the writing that I do can generate some interest from the great fan base that's in the city of Detroit, who follow the Detroit Lions and follow University of Michigan football.
So let me ask you, because some of those stories, in a man of heart, he married a Buckeye.
I did.
In Robbie. And
there are those out there that says the smartest decision of my life.
I would agree. You married up. We said that before.
I outkicked my coverage there. But the other thing is, I always tell people this too. I said, I took her from worshiping at the evil empire, and now she is a Jedi warrior.
Yeah. So what about, she tells a great story too. You guys are an amazing pair when it comes to that sort of thing. Would it be something that you did as a pair? Is it something that you could do as a
couple? We could. Sure, there's some things that we might be able to do, but that's, again, exploring what the possibilities are.
Sure, sure.
We could do a lot of stuff like that. We just took a trip this summer, and it was one of those things that we've always wanted to do. We went from here, our house in Commerce, drove up to the Upper Peninsula, and we turned left. And we didn't stop till we got to Yellowstone Park in Wyoming.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we turned around and came back through Rapid City, South Dakota, the Badlands. We saw Mount Rushmore. That's a great trip. And we stopped at little places along. I had my picture taken with a 50-foot concrete dairy cow. I'm not lying. And with a 40-foot buffalo. And I got my picture taken in Bemidji with Paul Bunyan and Babe. These are parts of America that we have never seen. We've flown over them.
Sure.
So we did that. We had a great time. And those are the kinds of things that I think we have time to do now.
Excellent.
That's a great thing. As somebody who has a house divided from Ohio State, I'm the Ohio State person in my family, though. I married into a Michigan family. And we've reached a nice little detente.
And your mother-in-law is a big fan.
My mother-in-law is a huge fan of you. So I'm surprised she didn't come, to be honest with you. But
so can we ask him?
Sure.
What do you think of Urban?
He needs to. If he knew, he needs to go. And it sounds like he knew.
Yes, sir.
I don't disagree. I mean, when he said the other day, let me ask you this. You're an Ohio State guy, and
yeah.
There are a lot of people out there, Chris, I know you know this too, that are kind of saying Urban, he's okay and he's going to survive and all that. My thing is this. He said in late July at the Big Ten meetings that he had no knowledge of any of this thing going on. And then 10 days later, he says, oh, yeah, I didn't know what the question was about. I did know, and I reported it to my superiors. Did that sound... That statement and letter he put out yesterday sound like orchestrated?
Yes, absolutely. Like,
it was the attorneys that got involved in that one?
There's a guy who is selling out others to save his own skin, and that's...
Gene Smith particularly, right?
Yes.
The athletic director.
Yeah. That's. I'm not an Urban Meyer fan to begin with from what he did. He cut my cousin from the Florida football team to sign one Aaron Hernandez to a scholarship.
Oh, my.
So we have a little bit of family history against him anyway.
No kidding.
Yeah. But
he's in a tough spot.
This is a guy who left Florida under a cloud, sort of ahead of the pitchforks and torches, for health reasons, and he said he wanted to spend time with his family, and then 8 days later he signed a contract with ESPN. He hates his family that much after 8 days?
Well, Chris and I were talking beforehand, and you can weigh in on this, both of you. I said if there's only one place on the planet he can survive, it's Columbus, Ohio, with this kind of controversy.
The only thing I will say to that is they fired Jim Tressel for trying to cover up tattoos. This is domestic violence. There's a precedent there. And remember, they fired Woody Hayes back in the day. He needed to go for what he did.
Let's do a flash poll, Riz.
Yeah.
So everyone in the room, we got a quick question for you. We'll go stay or go. First off, how many people think Urban Meyer should stay at Ohio State?
There all right. There are zero hands up.
let's say who's here for go? Go ahead and give us a vote for go. All right, he's fired. That's it. We did it, Brandy.
Well, it's gonna be a little harder than that, I think.
There's a
based on what I
things to work out.
Right, based on what I saw yesterday, they're lining up the sides now because Urban, in one many ways, threw Gene Smith under the bus. The Ohio State trustees and the athletic director and their administration has now got to come up, I think, with some kind of legal response to that.
Sure.
Not to mention the fact that Zach Smith was out there parading around at ESPN and on a radio station in Columbus selling his story. So if you've got three sides now, and all of them are kind of looking for the narrow gap to find a way through this.
Right.
And I don't think but one of them's going to make it.
No, and keep in mind, one of the reasons why Ohio State was already in the news was because of their old wrestling coach having his issues with beating people. They had problems with their basketball coach when he left. There's a lot of weird things going on in Columbus, and it makes me proud that I'm actually an Ohio Bobcat and not an Ohio State Buckeye. Can you do me a favor? When you play,
Bobcats.
When you
I love the Bobcats.
Thank you. When you play this year, don't call them Ohio. You don't do it. There's a lot of Michigan people, though, from the program who will call Ohio State Ohio. You do not confuse Michigan and Michigan State. Don't confuse Ohio and Ohio State. Us Bobcats do not appreciate that.
I do not call them Ohio.
I know you don't.
What do you
for
call
the reason,
them in unmixed company?
That very reason, no. For that very reason, because Ohio is a highly respected Mid-American Conference school.
Yes, we are.
From Athens, Ohio.
That's right.
And I call them Ohio State or the Buckeyes.
Yep. Yes.
The one thing I won't do.
Uh-oh.
I will not call them the Ohio State University.
Yeah, that's good. Yep.
Everybody that's likes good. To do that. And my comment is, why call them the Ohio State University? Who would want to be the other?
You don't want to be the first one. Why
exactly.
do you want to be the other one? That's right.
Anyway.
All right.
So, that takes care of that. Let's talk a lot.
Yeah. Let's talk about something more fun.
Let's talk about the team. We've been through a week of training camp here. There's been a lot going on. We'll talk a little more in depth with the crew. We got Eric Schlitt coming up. We got Sandman going to join us shortly. But we've been watching training camp, and throughout training camp, it's been the normal skill drills and position changes. Hit the air horn, move to the next drill, right? Today was different. They ran scrimmages all day, and you see what looks like a defense that is surpassing the strength of the offense. That's normal for this time of year, right? This is nothing to be worried about. I heard a lot of people a little bit scared that maybe the offense wasn't hitting on all cylinders. We should expect that here, right?
Yeah, you should. And the other thing that's I've done this for 31 years, been around the NFL. To be honest with you, I don't care what they do to Tuesdays or Fridays or Thursdays. The only day that matters is on Sunday when they're playing a guy there wearing a different color uniform, and it counts.
Yep.
And so whether at Allen Park the defense is ahead of the offense today or not, that doesn't worry or concern me one bit. What concerns me is Ziggy Ansah, who is a key vital cog to your success. They're a better defense when he's healthy.
Yep.
If he's not healthy and not able to go 16 games, they're not going to be as good a defense, period. Those are the things that I look at in the spring and early camp to find out if these guys, especially the rookies, are kind of stepping up and they got the right speed. They're able to do the things they need to do. They're able to hold on to the football, not turn it over.
Sure.
Rookie corners are not making coverage mistakes. Those are the things I look for, not who's ahead of the other guy.
Right, right.
Coaches look at that. That's fine. But ultimately, at the end of the day, when you open up your first game – and the Lions play when it counts. I think it's a Sunday night. Mm-hmm. They better win that game. That's what matters. Not so much today. And that's kind of how I've always looked at the preseason and early camp.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you find anything of value from doing the preseason games other than getting experience for the young guys? Do you take much stock in the results? I know there are some coaches. I just came from Cleveland where I cover the Browns too. And Hugh Jackson is still hell-bent on winning games in the preseason because he feels like his team needs a win to establish themselves.
Every preseason and every team is different. Hugh Jackson needs that.
Yes, he does.
Because his team doesn't win. So you've got to establish winning something.
Right.
Even if it's a preseason game, who cares? As a coach, that's what you want. Bill Belichick doesn't care.
Right.
Bill Belichick doesn't care if he goes 0-4. He just wants to get the guys that he's going to go to war with in September ready to play. And he doesn't really matter too much what happens in the month of August.
Sure.
And in my opinion, it depends upon the team, and it depends upon the coach, and it depends upon the program he's got. Now, Matt Patricia, with this team, is going to have to find out defensively whether he's got the personnel that fits to what he wants to do.
Sure.
So the games in preseason will be a little bit more, I think, valuable to him, mm-hmm. but it's about reading the talent and the talent and its abilities physically to do what he wants them to do
yep.
in his scheme. Offensively, we know what they are. The only thing they've got to look at is get Ragnow ready to play. The rest of the guys up front are known quantities. You got to figure out a tight end, and you got to find out whether your rookie running back is going to be able to make the roster and make the top three backs, because you got Abdullah and Riddick and Blunt. And so now he's the fourth, Kerryon Johnson.
Sure.
Those are, in my opinion, the only three guys you're looking at offensively. You got the same offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So it's developing those guys and your rookie offensive line. To me, that's the vital thing about this preseason for the Lions.
So let me ask you on that, and I've got another question I want to follow up with on a different topic. But Ron Prince, there's been a lot of talk about him. Players didn't like him, how good he was, Jim Caldwell standing up for him. Maybe he cost Jim Caldwell his job. Some of the other things, there's been a lot said about that. He's gone. Yeah, there's been changes on the offensive line, but it feels like this is now the litmus test on whether Ron Prince was the issue or not. Because we should see this year. There should be a significant change year over year.
Well, you'd like to think so, but don't forget that Ron Prince was working with an offensive line that didn't have Taylor Decker or Rick Wagner.
Right. True.
I mean, and they played with Travis Swanson at center a lot.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
they've got a total new offensive line with Decker and Wagner back, hopefully 100%.
Right.
T.J. Lang last year wasn't real healthy.
You're right.
So it's I don't know whether I would say that that's the reason. I mean, yeah, sure, but if they play better and none of them are hurt, I don't know whether I leave that on the head of Ron Prince or not, or give all the credit to the guy that's there now.
Are you being nice because he's going to Michigan?
No. I'm just saying that that's how it is. I mean,
yeah, there was a lot of extenuating circumstances last year with
Morning,
the injuries.
It's like I go back to this. You know, coaches can coach no matter where they go. Marty Morningweg came in here with Matt Millen as the head coach and bombed awfully. But then he goes to Philadelphia and with Andy Reid, and he goes to Baltimore with John Harbaugh, and he is nothing but a star as an offensive coordinator. Did he? What happened? He just wasn't able to maybe be the head coach and handle that aspect of it. But from a pure coaching standpoint, Marty Morningweg is still out there. If you talk to any coach in America, they will tell you this guy's got a great offensive mind.
Very well respected.
And, you know, but in Detroit as a head coach, it didn't work.
Not a lot of love.
Not a lot of love.
No.
The bar is set higher, you know?
Yes.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying about coaches. And Bill Belichick failed miserably in Cleveland.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know whether you can lay that all on a guy like
sure.
Prince.
Sure.
Yeah, he went to Michigan. I don't care where he went. He could have gone to Ohio State.
Right.
Could have gone to Michigan State. Could have gone to wherever. You get to that level and you coach in the NFL, you got to have something going for you.
Sure.
I'm a great fan of all coaches. They don't have a life at the NFL level.
Yeah.
Their wives are saints.
Yes,
they are
yes,
slaves
they are.
To the
yep.
game.
Yep.
And so if you coached and you've gotten to that level, you're strong. You're tall cotton.
Okay. So you know I like to take you places you're uncomfortable, Randy. This party. That rest stop on 94. You know, let's.
You promised to never say anything about that.
Sorry about that. Let's talk a little bit about prognostication. And I know you hate you hate that. You hate predicting. But I'm going to ask you to. We look at the team at 0-16 and where they were. And Jim Schwartz, it really looks like and feels like he was the right guy for the right job at the right time. It was a team like you. He needed a win. Right, this team needed wins, and he had that fire and that spark, and he drove them to get those wins and to change that mindset. But it doesn't feel like Jim Schwartz and the staff and Martin Mayhew at the time, the whole combination was the right combination to get him to a Super Bowl. So we move on. We bring Jim Caldwell, and he's definitely a next-level coach. He takes the team to the next level, builds a bit of character in the players and the way that they perform and the way they act, and gets them ready to truly act as professionals and get away from some of the stuff that was that spark that they needed when they just needed the win. Now you're looking at Matt Patricia, and he's never head coached before. We can look at his pedigree. We can talk about the Belichick tree and all the other stuff. What do you think? Make your prediction on what kind of coach you see. Is he the next coach? Is he going to take them to the next level? Maybe not a Super Bowl. I hope so. But is he going to take this team to the next level? Do you think he has what it takes? Sorry, we're back at that rest stop.
I'm going to cop out. I have no idea. And that's because he has no track record.
I think that's a fair answer.
No, I mean, he has no track record. He's got a great record as an assistant coach, as a defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, who happen to have a guy that wears number 12 playing quarterback, who made up for a lot of errors the defense could have made. Here's my thing on, will they go to the next level? Remember this, everybody in the room. There are 31 teams out there having this same conversation.
Absolutely.
You don't think they're out there in Oakland going, Gruden's going to bring us back. Come on.
Back to Las Vegas.
Well, but Gruden's going to get them the gold, the silver and black going back because Gruden's there. Yeah,
yeah. He's trying real hard to win that 2010 Super Bowl still.
Exactly. But here's the deal. Seriously. Look at the other guys out there. I look at the other guys more than I look at our guys. Did Green Bay get better in the offseason?
Maybe. Marginally.
Aaron Rodgers is back. They got better.
That helps.
That doesn't help.
Yeah.
That's a big,
we've had that conversation a lot on the show.
Yeah. They got better. Whether you like him or you hate him.
You got to respect him.
The guy wins games for that franchise. They go because that guy takes snaps. So, by getting him back, Green Bay got better. Did Minnesota get worse?
No.
So, did the Lions? No, I'm not killing you. I'm just telling you.
He's a realist.
No, how to look at this stuff. Because Minnesota, to me, I thought got better in the offseason. Now, maybe they didn't, but they still have a defense.
That defense is loaded.
Thank you.
They are loaded. Will be for a while. Really, really good.
Thank you. And they were, they literally should have been in the Super Bowl probably. But Philadelphia beat it. So that's the way it goes. But I'm just saying, okay, did they get, so there are two teams in your own division. If you finish third in your division, you ain't making the playoffs. I'm sorry. You're just not. I think this Lions team's expectation should be playoffs.
Absolutely.
And if it's not, then that's a problem within the organization. But they won 9 games a year ago. I think they should be a team that goes to the playoffs. But look at the other guys, and that's where I'm going. Also around the NFC. Philadelphia is good. Dallas is good.
The Rams are really good.
Yeah. So how good are you, and did the other guys get better? If the Lions got markedly better and put themselves, say, past Green Bay with a healthy Aaron Rodgers, then I'd be much more positive about where this Lions team can go. But right now I'm saying in their own division even, and let's just be realistic, did they get as good as Green Bay got and as good as Minnesota got? Both teams, in my opinion, got better, one, because of Aaron Rodgers, two, because Minnesota's defense is still great. Is that, I mean, I don't want to rain on your parade.
No, I think that's very realistic, and that's something that some of us have been trying to say, is that you do need to look at what else is going on around the league, because there are 31 other teams, like you said. There are 15 other teams in the NFC who are all chasing that same dream, and some of them, I think, did do more to improve their team than what Detroit did.
And that's the whole deal, in my opinion. When you ask about the Lions, everybody in this room, we're Lions fans. We want them to be great, and we want them to make the playoffs. I'm in that same boat as you guys. The problem is, if you're in Minnesota, you're a fan, and you're saying, we want to get home field advantage in the playoffs. We want to win the division. They think they can. Green Bay is saying the same thing. Those are the teams you got to beat. And if they didn't get better, if Aaron Rodgers wasn't there, if he was still hurt, I'd say the Lions are better than them, and their only competition was Minnesota. But Aaron Rodgers makes Green Bay, I think, a contender.
Yep. Jim, again, thank you so much for coming out. Hey, guys, can we hear a hand for Jim Brandstetter coming out and joining the party?
Glad to be with y'all. Thank you. You guys are great.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, the Lions faithful and your audience, You've been so great to me since the thing with WJR happened. I can't tell you how gratifying it is for me. I never got in this business to be a celebrity or any of that stuff. I got in to do my job, and I had a passion for football. And to have the outpouring of support that I got when the JR thing came around, you are just a part of that, and I want to thank each and every one of you for all the nice things that was said when this whole thing went down. And don't worry about me. Like Mark Twain once said, the rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated.
All right, Jim Brandstetter, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Kelly, if you're out there, I could use another beer, please. All right, here we go. All right, big special thanks to Jim Brandstetter for joining us. We're going to move on with some training camp reports. We've got a couple of special guests. First off, this guy you know, you love, you squeeze every night whenever you can. His name's Sandman, the master of the slow lights. How you doing, bud?
I am doing so good.
We got to spend a lot of quality time together this week.
You know, 2 days in a row is just the right amount.
Yeah. It's like Vegas. Yeah, that was great. We got a lot to talk about from training camp with Sandman. Spent some time. Also spent some time today with the one, the only, Mr. Eric Schlitt. How are you doing, Eric?
Thanks, Chris. I'm doing good.
Good, good, good to have you on. And, of course, you guys know the Riz. Someone tried to say we should call him the Wiz, but we know that's not going to go very good places.
Yeah, that's not really me. I'm not a wizard. I'm not Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah. You're the man on the Silver Mountain. All right, let's move on. We're going to talk a little bit about training camp. Let's start down with something that you found interesting, something you saw, Sam. And what jumped out at you this year that was different from years gone by?
You know, the first thing that came to mind when I went and actually visited practice was how much they were getting done in a short period of time, how Patricia was actually walking around everybody and making sure things that, you know, normally would be, you know, positional coaches, he was getting his hands on. It was, you know, it was really amazing to see how hands-on he actually was with everything.
You know, what I thought was most interesting was the attention that the position coaches gave to the individual guys. Often when you move to special teams or move to a scrimmage, you would see guys spend some time with individual coaches, you know, working on certain aspects of their games maybe where they struggled. For example, you saw Slay teaching some technique drills to T's Tabor and to Nevin Lawson, and then they were using Jamal Agnew as kind of like a rabbit that they had to chase. And so Slay was the model, and then you saw the coaches teach Nevin Lawson and T's like how to create some nuances in their game. Those are some really fine points of special teams.
Great, great.
You know, for me, it's different because I came from watching the Cleveland Browns for a week, and so my view is sort of, I'm trying to compare them and contrast them. And the Lions, first off, the media were way the hell up in a tower, which is weird. So it's harder to see. But to sort of what Sandman said, there's a lot of urgency and purpose and hustle. The guys are sprinting between drills from station to station. That's not something you normally see in an NFL camp. I've been to seven different training camps in the last 5 years. That's the first time I've seen them do that from the beginning of practice to the end of practice. They're very in on that, and it seems like there's a feeling that this team realizes that they need to do better. Without saying it, I do think that they feel like they let Jim Caldwell down, and I think there's a lot of the veteran players are don't want to do that to Matt Patricia, and I think that it shows. I talked to Nevin Lawson after practice yesterday, and he talked about how Patricia, how they liked him, and how he feels. How all the players feel like he genuinely cares about them.
Sure.
And how much, you know, they want to be coached and how they think he can bring the best out in them. So there's a little bit of an optimism that's tinted with a little bit of kind of like, you know, we really need, it's on us that he's here. Let's make sure that we do this guy right because we didn't do it for Jim.
Sure, sure. I'll tell you what I noticed this training camp over last year. And I got to go Friday and Saturday and talk to Eric about how training camp was going beforehand. And most of it was like Friday. And then today, Saturday, was a little bit different. And it was interesting, Friday, where they ran from drill to drill, you hear the air horn, they move positions, do another drill. It reminded me, and I was talking a little bit about this with Sandman I did a, they called it a boss lift. I got to go up to Camp Grayling with a guy that I worked with who was in the National Guard. And it was to make sure they weren't drinking beer and playing poker the whole time, right? But it was right at the start of the Iraq War when things were ugly. And I got to ride in a Black Hawk. I got to drive a Humvee. I got video of me getting a Humvee airborne, by the way, if you want to see that. That's pretty sweet. But it, the thing about it was everything that we did, we were training fodder for the guys they had, because they only had them for 2 weeks, and they were just, it was when they were just discovering IEDs and stuff like that. It was life or death kind of stuff, right? Every minute of their time was spent on training and learning, and we were just meat. I got up there from Selfridge in the C-130. We took off three planes in formation off the same runway at the same time. It was incredible. I've never seen anything like it. Swaying the Blackhawks, looking down the treetops, the waist gunner firing with like a laser tracker system, you know, getting sick, smelling gunpowder while you're swaying side to side. It was insane. But they did not waste a single second. And when I looked on the field during training camp on Friday, that's what I saw. Every movement was something to make them better, something to train. It was snappier. It was more well choreographed. It was a step up and above. And a lot of people, I've heard them talk about how the same thing happened when they went from Schwartz to Caldwell. And now you're seeing this other thing. That's one of the things that I saw, that no movement seemed to be wasted. And the choreography. Can you imagine? These guys knew every place they were supposed to be at the instant they were supposed to be at for 2 minutes solid without stop. And they hit it. Somebody had to draw that plan out. And that's pretty amazing. But,
you know, I think it goes beyond the playing field as well, because after practice is over, and this is when the fans start to leave, the players don't just exit the field. They stick around and they do extra work. And we talked to Ricky Jean-Francois about it, how when he was leading some defensive line drills after practice just with the other defensive linemen on their own, and he talked about the fact that when they have access to a facility, it's about utilizing every minute that they're at the facility in order to get the best out of what they want to do. And so it's not like their day ends when that last horn blows. This is a continued pattern that goes over and throughout the day for them.
Excellent. All right, let's move on. Eric, I know you've had a lot of observations. You've done a bunch of periscopes. You've written a number of stories. I've heard you lament that Riz is a little quicker with the fingers.
Very much.
And in a lot of things.
I write the fluff.
So Riz is the fluffer. Tell me a little bit about what you saw in training camp and one of the big things that stands out to you.
The big thing is the defense. It's a totally different defensive scheme, and you see that in the way that right up front with the defensive line, they're not trying to get upfield all the time. They're trying to hold their gaps, and they're trying to make sure that they're, you know, creating pathways for other people to get to the quarterback or to get to the rusher. And right off the bat from there, that's a huge change in concept from what we've seen in the past. And then the second thing is they're utilizing five defensive backs pretty consistently. But which five are, there's some variance in that. And so they're putting guys in situations where they excel. They're not forcing situations, and it's not like you're our starter, and so you're going to play in the starter no matter what. It's, okay, you're good in this situation. We're going to bounce you out here but in there. And so they're trying to maximize where each player succeeds, and that's a huge difference from what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, one of the things that has come up quite a bit in the media tower is how it's going to be false sort of to consider players the starter or not starting, because they're going to play specific roles based on situation and personnel of the offense much more than they ever have in the past. You might see Darius Slay, he'll be a starter all the time, but the corner opposite him, it might be Tease Tabor, it might be Nevin Lawson, depending on who's out there for the other team. It might be Jamal Agnew if they go small. There's a lot of mixing and matching that's going to go on, and Patricia is very comfortable in coaching that way, and I think the players are getting more comfortable in accepting that I might not be the starter, but I might play 40 plays, and they're going to be key plays. And that seems to be something that when you talk to the players, and you brought up Ricky Jean-Francois, that guy's fantastic, by the way. He might not play a lot, but he's a fantastic asset for the Detroit Lions, and I'm very happy that he's here. That guy's really, really football smart, and he can communicate it to the other players. And the fact that he's taken over leadership role right away, I think, is a very positive thing. There's the whole concept of playing a 3-4 versus a 4-3, and where's Quandre Diggs? Is he playing safety on this? Is he playing slot? It's going to mix and match throughout the game and throughout the season. So it's going to be hard for us as fans who are accustomed to, you know, specific roles, those aren't there anymore. It's going to be a change for us broadcasting it too, talking about okay, well, on this play, you know, this personnel package was in because the offense did this. It's not necessarily the defense dictating to the offense. I think it's much more of a reactive thing. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. I watched the Cleveland Browns last year stay in cover one with Jabril Peppers 25 yards from the line of scrimmage on first down. That's not something I'm ever going to see with Matt Patricia, thank God.
Yeah, you know, it's a thing that we kind of saw coming, right? Because Bob Quinn has been drafting puzzle pieces for the last couple years. Miles Killebrew is a puzzle piece. He's not a guy that's going to start at safety for you. He's not a guy that's going to start at linebacker for you. But when you're playing a certain kind of tight end or a certain type of running back, you know, he's the perfect guy to fit in your defense to just take care of that guy. You know, we just have a whole lot of guys like that on our roster, and now I think we finally have the coaching staff to properly utilize, you know, a lot of the guys on our defense, whereas before, like you guys were saying, you know, we just would stick in a base and we would have a short cornerback on, you know, tall wide receivers all day, or, you know, we'd have slow cornerbacks in, you know, wide open field positions, whereas, you know, towards the end of the year, you could kind of see where Tease was going to be used mostly, which is in, you know, like red zone situations where he doesn't need to have long speed. He's going to be fine in situations like that. So I think it's a perfect opportunity for Patricia to really show us what he's going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. The defense is the big question mark. It's neat to see how it's running out there. Neat to see them out doing the offense. I mean, it looked like it gave trouble to Stafford. I was pretty impressed. It's early, right? Nothing to read out of that. But it was better than what I expected.
The defensive front did play, especially the linebacking crew, I thought, today. On the run game, they looked like they were very in sync. Specifically the newcomers, Kennard and Jones, I thought they showed a good little coordination between the two of them. And Jared Davis, I still have my questions about Jared Davis, but there seems to be something there where he seems to be like a better fit. He appears to be taking this as an opportunity to say that, you know what I did good in my rookie year was the real me, not that what I did bad in my rookie year was what I'm going to be. And I think he's embraced that, and that's hopeful, because he did do a lot of good. He did do a lot of bad, too.
Absolutely. So, let's move around. Sandman, what do you got?
Well, you know, Patricia, just to be completely honest, we have no idea, you know, how our game plans are going to work, how everything's going to tie together. And I don't think we're going to know until we see regular season football. But I think Patricia gives us a lot of hope that, you know, I was talking to some people in the crowd earlier today about how before everything was player oriented. Oh, we got player A and he's going to be good, and we got player B and he's going to be good. I don't think the way Patricia runs things, I don't know if it matters. I think that he's going to put people in the position to succeed, and I have, you know, the trust that that is what's going to happen, because that's exactly what he did in New England.
I've been asking you this all weekend. Is the position to succeed having Ziggy Ansah cover a tight end?
You know how much I love watching Ziggy run backwards 5 yards, look around, and do nothing. But I would prefer him hand in the dirt.
Today, however, see Jeremiah Valawaga turn and run and stay with Luke Wilson on his hip down the slot. So
that's true. That's true. I think that some guys can do that. But when you're paying a guy $22 million a year or whatever we're paying him now,
close enough.
Yeah, kind of. I like to see him in the quarterback space as much as possible.
Yeah, and I tend to think that that's something that Patricia recognizes. He did that with New England. He figures out what his guys do best. And you saw last year, New England's defense, if you remember, was awful last September.
They had horrible depth.
They were on pace to be the worst defense in NFL history. And by the end of the year, I think they wound up 20th, I want to say. But that's, you know, factoring in the first month of how god-awful they were, that's a really marked improvement. He figured out what he had and figured out how to use his guys better. And I think that's something that we've all seen and expect from this team, too.
But with the defense, it's you know, there's a lot of expectations about how are they going to generate pressure. And you know, Patricia has found success while they were like in the 20s or at 20 overall in their defense at the rank at the end of the season. in some specialty areas, they were in the top 10. In scoring defense, they were in the top 10. In sacks, they were seventh. And those key areas that win you games, those are the areas in which they succeed. They're going to give up yards, and this team's going to give up yards, and that's going to frustrate fans because of the style of how they operate. But they're not going to give up points, and that's really what the bottom line is with Patricia.
Sure. And I'll take we had a minute with Matthew Stafford after the scrimmage today. He spent a little time, asked him some questions, and he was talking about how it is early. It's training camp. There's not a lot to worry about. And when we asked, what is he thinking, it was basically...
So it's all good.
So there we are. That's where we're at with where Matthew Stafford's
you
thinking.
You edited about that.
No, he said that. He definitely said that.
It sounds right. More and more like that now. That you,
yeah, right?
So it's all good. So it's all good.
The more I hear it.
So it's all good. Yeah. All right, any big takeaways? We'll start with takeaways, and we'll wind things down. Going forward, Sandman, the team from training camp now, what do you expect from them, and what do you expect from the year based on what you've seen in changes?
I expect a much better coached team is what I expect. You know, last year, as I rewatched the year, it became apparent of how non-violent our defensive line was. They weren't violent.
Yeah.
You know, you'd go back and you'd watch 2014, and it would be a battle. There'd be hands flying everywhere. There'd be heads being smashed. And just from watching these two practices, the amount of hand fighting and the amount of time that these coaches are taking with the players to get those small things that add up to big things later, I think is going to be an amazing difference. You know, just both lines in general, like just getting Ron Prince the hell out of here. Like, thank God, get him the hell out of here, please.
That's an absolutely great point. The violence with the hands, the line from the defense is something that was missing. And it definitely looked like it came back.
Yeah, kind of from the offense, too, honestly.
Yeah.
I think we've all seen Frank Reich now.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, big takeaway, Eric.
The big takeaway for me is, you know, while the offenses, they look a little bit out of sorts right now with their communication, this is an offense that can, you know, put up yards and put up points. And with the advancements that they've done in the offensive line and with the running game, I really think the sky's the limit with this offense and their potential. And so if the defense can, you know, be average, and they look like they can be at this point, if they can be average and the offense can be at the level that they're capable, which is, you know, top seven, top five in the league, you add a run game and Stafford in the pass game, that combination of a top seven and then offense and then a solid defense, that's a playoff caliber team. You know, not a lot of teams have that type of balance where they can succeed in both areas, and if a team can do that, there's a good chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all you need to do is get in the playoffs, because anything can happen there. And this is a team that it really looks like they're going to get there this year, and maybe, just maybe, it can be the year that they pull one off. Riz, do you think that's going to happen?
I think it can.
I asked yes or no.
To go back to what Brandy said, I do think that we need to take into account what other teams have done as well, and we will see those in the preseason. I think that'll give us a better idea of what Minnesota is, what Green Bay is, and we saw Chicago. They're still not a threat. That's right.
We own the Bears.
But there's a lot of really good teams in the NFC. I think it's a top-heavy conference. New Orleans is good. Atlanta is good. These are all really good teams, and the Lions have to get ahead of a couple of those teams.
Sure.
I'm not sure they have done enough this year to do it, but they still have the potential. They were 9-7 last year, as poorly coached and as god-awful as the run game and the offensive line was. And they fixed that. I'm very excited about Kerryon Johnson. I think he's got a very realistic shot to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Sure.
I really do. And I think that Stafford, in his 10th season, he looks fantastic. First off, I think he's dropped a little bit more weight.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he's carrying himself with a little bit more of a, what's the word? I don't want to say cocksure, because that's not right. It's more like a quiet, like, I know that I've got this now.
Yep.
Like, and I know that I need to be the guy to lead this team. And he seems very comfortable in that skin, and that gets me excited.
So let me ask you, I know this is important to you, his hair. This year it seems to be much better. Riz, would you agree? He's not into Taylor Decker territory,
right? He's not, and Taylor Decker cut his hair.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing. He's not Brady Quinn, but he's easy on the eyes.
We'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there. Yeah. We'll get all there. Right.
Nobody's all right. Brady Quinn.
All right. Remember, guys, we're gonna wrap it up now. But remember, we look for your involvement, your feedback in the show. Don't forget to use the subreddit to give us your feedback. We'd like to thank everybody in the room for joining us tonight. It's been awesome. Thank you all. Much love. You guys are awesome. I'm so happy to be back in Detroit with people like you. It is really absolutely awesome. For the folks that didn't make it, hey, don't forget about us on Patreon. Toss some bucks our way. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the Patreon link. Also on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And on the Twitter cheese at DETLionsPodcast. It's DETLionsPodcast. The best place to see Sandman, Eric, Riz, and I...
With no pants!
Oh, that's fucking awesome. Thanks, guys. All right, don't forget, we got those great links you can use on Amazon, on Fanatics, all that stuff. And leave us a message via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or on the Lions Line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Lock around and find that place to subscribe to the podcast. Get it to come inside your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in. And we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast at your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally that call was 100% wrong.
Kelly, if you're out there, I could use another beer, please. All right, here we go.